the entry of the Magicians from Rameau's music for Zoroastra. Lars Ulrik Mortensen was directing the European Union Baroque Orchestra. And I should quickly tell you about next week's Drama on Three, a story based on real events, the little-known but fascinating tale of the battle between appeasers and anti-appeasers in the period before and after the Second World War. Sea Change by John Fletcher. That's our drama next Sunday night at the usual time of 8:30. This is BBC Radio 3. It's coming up to 12 minutes past 10 this Sunday night, and now continuing our Baroque spring season, here's Lucy Duran with World Roots.
I'd like to say that you're Paraguay's greatest guitarist. Can I do that? Are you all right with that?
It's very hard.
Is she Paraguay's greatest guitarist?
Yeah. Hard to say.
Good. And modest. Okay. Rolling? Berta Rojas, Paraguay's greatest classical guitarist. Welcome to World Roots. And here we are in Asunción, the capital, looking out over the Paraguay River. It's a beautiful river too.
It carries many stories. Huh?
Which are in your music?
Some of them are in the music of Paraguay. Paraguay has many music written, telling stories about water, especially in harp repertoire.
And in the guitar?
The guitar in Paraguay has an interesting presence, since we believe that one of the main, if not the main, classical guitar composer of all times, the most important one, was born in Paraguay. And his name is Agustín Pío Barrios Mangoré. His music is part of what I'm going to play for you today.
I know that you've been living abroad for a long time. Mm-hmm. You're back now in Paraguay, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Not permanently. I bought a house. My mother is 86 years old, and I've been living outside of Paraguay for the past 26 years. And I thought it was time to buy a house in my home country in Paraguay and to try to spend a little more time. But I'm pretty much feeling at this point as an outsider, you know, trying to regain access to many things that I now discover I've lost over the years.
Thank you. This is Paraguay's greatest classical guitarist, Berta Rojas, playing specially for us on World Roots. Berta, what was that you just played?
So the composer of that piece is Agustin Barrios Mangoré. He's regarded as one of the best guitar composers of all time. He was born in Paraguay and died in El Salvador in 1944. The name of the song is El Último Canto. This is the last piece he wrote before he passed away. And it was found in his desk by his pupils. And knowing that it was the last piece he wrote, they named it El Último Canto, the last song.
And here we are in the Museum of Music with these special rooms dedicated to the memory of Agustin Barrios. Maybe you would take me around the museum and just show me some really important things. First of all, for example, why is he called Mangoré?
Well, Mangoré is the name of an Indian chief. It was those days in which his music, as could have happened today, also wasn't recognized or accepted. And he was completely an outsider. So he had to leave Paraguay to go abroad to try to gain respect and acceptance for his art. And things weren't going well for him. So in Brazil, his manager suggested that he created for himself, you know, some marketing strategy, you know, this personality of El Cacique Nitsuga Mangoré, the Indian chief Mangoré. So he promoted himself as the Paganini of the guitar from the jungles of Paraguay.
Behind you, we've got a poster of him performing, playing the guitar in Sao Paulo, in the Teatro Municipal.
Yeah, and that
and
is
the
right
date is 1929.
That is right before he created that personality, that alter ego for him. Because in the 30s is when he started dressing as the Indian chief, Mangoré, which you can see here.
That's
his Indian attire, you know, his native attire. So in between the 30s and the 34, he dressed as an Indian chief to present himself in concerts. I can only imagine the sensation of seeing this amazing guitarist dressing as an Indian chief playing.
So here we have a showcase of two beautiful classical guitars and some shellac 78 RPM discs. Tell me about them.
Discs that you see here are not any discs, you know, are probably the first recordings ever made for classical guitar. Even before Segovia, before Llobet, you know, Agustin Barrios was recording. We're speaking about 1920, 1921 in Buenos Aires and in Montevideo. He was making these discs of his music. You know? And that is also something interesting. That's the 50,000 guaranis, which is the currency in Paraguay. And that is the image of Agustin Barrios there on the bill. You know? So he's a national hero of my country.
Well, since we're on the theme of Barrios Mangoré, I hope you're going to play another piece.
Yes, I'm going to play something that we consider sort of a national anthem for Paraguayan guitarists, which is the Paraguayan Dance by Agustin Barrios. It's written in the polka rhythm. It's a rhythm that shows two rhythms in one, which is the three, which is in the bottom, and the sixes, which are on the melody line. And that alternation of both rhythms makes it very special. Thank you.
That was Danza Paraguaya, Paraguayan dance, played by Berta Rojas on guitar here in Asunción, well, here in the Museum of Music in Asunción, capital of Paraguay. And that composition was by Agustín Barrios, the famous Paraguayan composer of classical guitar music, one of the most celebrated classical guitar music composers in the world. Berta, here we are in this beautiful city with this fabulous tropical vegetation around us, and yet you've been living abroad for many years. What took you away?
There was a program that was designed by the Kennedy Center of the Performing Arts to support emerging artists from the Americas to go to the United States and open up their careers to the States and therefore to the world. And so they gave us money and support to try to do that. And they gave me $25,000. And with that money, I decided to go on for my education. And then I stayed.
Berta, when you were coming to meet us here in the Cabildo in downtown Asunción, you had just had a meeting with Paraguayan musicians. And you were saying that the situation of Paraguayan musicians is really very poor, that they're not supported, that they don't have many rights. Can you tell me about that?
The professional musician is not even recognized by the nation, you know. If you have to write your profession, musician is not recognized as one. And so we're trying to institutionalize this. Now we're called the Association of Independent Musicians of Paraguay. We just had a meeting. We are 50 of them, and next week we're going to probably have 100, and it's going to keep building. No? We believe that we can do a national congress of musicians in Paraguay, and that we are going to surprise everybody on how many we are, how loud we are, and how important and essential we are. Because if we lose music, we lose one of the main elements of our identity as a nation, and we cannot allow that.
So how is it possible that with all of these fabulous musicians and, you know, with the great harp tradition, with you as a classical guitarist, with so many great composers, how is it possible that the government has just not recognized their importance?
I think that we haven't made our voices heard. We are trying to create consciousness in the people about our role in society and trying to increase the self-esteem of the musician.
And it's such an interesting country, Paraguay. It's a landlocked country. It's, in so many ways, is very different from any other place in South America. Mm. It's almost like a forgotten country.
Mm. We feel that way. We feel that way. That's why we felt so blessed to have music to speak for us. Because if in something we do extremely well, it's in music. We only don't have the means to promote what we're producing here. And we're trying to find those avenues.
Thank you. Well, I've come to a very special place here in Asunción, the capital of Paraguay. In fact, this place is one of the main reasons why World Roots wanted to come to Paraguay, because this is the first school in Paraguay, especially for the harp. The school is called Arpa Roga. Roga means house in Guarani, which is the second language of this country. Arpa means harp. And actually, we're in a converted carpenter's workshop, which belongs to Cristobal Pedersen and his wife Gladys, who've been our fabulous host today. And the piece of music that was just played for us is by one of the students of Cristobal, who runs a school and who teaches harp here. The name of that piece is Tren Lechero, which means the milk train, and it's by this prolific Paraguayan composer, Félix Pérez Cardoso. The soloist on the harp was a 13-year-old by the name of Ezequiel Takebe, who's Japanese in origin many generations ago, apparently, but very much Paraguayan. Cristobal and Gladys, first of all, thank you so much for inviting us to spend this wonderful day with you and your very talented students. I can see that you've been very hard at work. We're in this lovely room with 20 harps, 20 Paraguayan harps, some of them very old. What gave you the idea to start this school?
Y bueno, empezamos, esto era una carpintería, pero vimos la necesidad.
This was first a carpentry, as you said, but we thought this was a place that was needed for young people to meet, to discuss things about harp, a place where they could exchange ideas.
How many students do you have here, Gladys?
45 alumnos.
We have 45 students.
Of what ages?
El ministerio nos exige para la parte de lenguaje musical a partir de 9 años.
The ministry demands that we should have students for musical appreciation from the age of 9.
This is one of the students who's learning here at the Arpa Roga School of Harp in Asunción, in Paraguay, the capital of Paraguay. Her name is Fátima Estigarribia. Fátima, you speak some English?
Yes, I speak English.
How old are you, Fátima?
I am 14 years old.
14?
Yes. I started to play the harp 4 years ago.
Here at the school?
Yes.
What made you decide to want to play the harp?
Because I always loved the harp and my parents too. And the harp is my life.
Well, Fátima is now going to play a piece on the harp, and she's joined by three of her fellow students, so it's four girls, and the piece is called Isla Saca. Thank you. the lovely sound of four Paraguayan harps played by four students from this school, from the Arpa Roga school in Asunción. And the four harpists are aged between 14 and 16, and their names are Anaís Sanabria, Fátima Estigarribia, Luján Rolón, and Ada Vera. And they were playing the piece Isla Saca. Cristóbal and Gladys, the students that come here to study harp, is it because they want to study, or is it because their parents want them to study?
Bueno, la primera pregunta que se le hace a los alumnos el primer día de clases es...
The first question we ask students when they come to register to Arpa Roga is, why do you want to play the harp?
Las respuestas son diferentes, pero creo que todos llevan al...
The answers are quite varied. Some of them say, yeah, they love the harp. Some others say they are pressed by their parents or their grandparents. But some others say they want to become professional harp players to travel, to go abroad.
Somos conscientes de eso, pero sabemos justamente la pregunta anterior.
We are aware of this conflict, but the thing is that the harp becomes so popular that in other schools, perhaps where they study other instruments, if there are 20 students studying violin, only 5 would finish. But here in Arpa Roga, when we have 20 students, the 20 finish the whole school.
Well, I think it's time to hear the whole group, all your students, at least the ones who are able to make it here today to Arpa Roga. Let's hear them all play together, 20 students on 20 Paraguayan harps, and they're going to play a piece called Carreta Gui. Would you tell us about this piece?
Carreta es como... Gui significa bajo la carreta. Pero eso significa fiesta en Paraguay, porque cuando hay una fiesta de la Virgen, fiestas tradicionales, vienen las carretas en el pueblo. Y
the name of the song means literally under the cart, but it really means party, because in old days where there were big parties or big celebrations in a town, all the carts would come and park in a place, and people would use the carts as their homes, to breastfeed their babies or make fires, to cook meals, or even to play cards. So the name really means a party in Paraguay.
Thank you.
That was the gorgeous sound of 20 very talented, hard-working students of the Paraguayan harp playing a piece here in the harp school, Arpa Roga. And the name of that piece is, well, one word in Spanish, one word in Guarani, which is very typical of a lot of song titles, it seems, for the Paraguayan harp. So that was Carreta Hui, which means under the cart or party in Paraguay. Lovely party atmosphere here today in this harp school. We had a wonderful lunch cooked by Gladys with great Paraguayan food, including the cornbread, which is, for some bizarre reason, is called soup. Is that right, Andrea?
Well, it's solid soup because there is a legend that during the war they were out of everything and the only thing they had was a little bit of cornmeal and a little bit of water and milk and eggs, so they decided to make a soup. The legend goes that the cook forgot about the soup and he left it in the pan and it solidified. So it turned into a Paraguayan soup, a solid soup.
I see. The harps that are in this room, most of them have machine heads for tuning the strings. But then there are a couple of very old harps behind us right now against the wall, which have a completely different system of tuning. How much have Paraguayan harps changed?
Muchísimo cambió, porque como puedes ver, algunos tenían el cambio de afinación con madera.
The Paraguayan harp has changed a lot through the years. The first one had wooden tuning pegs. They had to be adjusted with special tools. The newer ones have tuning keys like the guitars. And the newest ones are different. They are chromatic. They have special keys to adjust as the European harp to different sounds. So it has changed a lot. It all started with Félix Pérez Cardoso, who saw and recovered the Paraguayan harp and started making all these transformations.
Cristobal and Gladys, you run this school, and I'm sure you put a great deal of devotion into it. It's a real labor of love, it seems to me. Do you feel that Paraguayan harp is given the recognition and the support that it deserves by the government?
Bueno, por el gobierno no recibimos ayuda, pero nosotros eso no nos detiene para...
We don't really receive any support from the government, but that doesn't stop us because we just notice the difference this makes in the children we work with.
How do you fund the school then if you get no support from the government?
Bueno, nosotros tenemos privada.
Well, we don't get any support from the government, but we get a satisfaction that money cannot buy. The children pay a small fee for the lessons. We have some children on scholarships.
Voy a completar la pregunta. Bueno, lo que Gladys no completó todavía es que cómo se financia. Bueno, por
the
una parte,
students'
los que
fees
pueden pagar,
are
pagan,
not
pero
enough.
No
we really have to supplement this income with what también. I make as a carpenter and what Gladys does to receive visitors from abroad. And we organize parties where they listen to harp and they learned about harp.
And she cooks as well, and she does those wonderful meals. Mm-hmm. And you have some star professors here, don't you? You have some star teachers. It would be a great honor and treat for us on World Roots if your three teachers who are here today, William Alvarenga, who's a guitarist, your son, Quique Pellerson, who's a harpist, if you're listening in stereo, you'll hear him on the left. And on the right is the very brilliant, extraordinary virtuoso, Nicolas Caballero. And my request is for what I think of as the best known of all Paraguayan pieces of music, which is El Pájaro Campana, the bellbird. Will you tell us about that piece of music?
Pájaro Campana es muy especial
Pájaro
para el
Campana
paraguayo
is a very special song because it's considered as the Paraguayan hymn for harp. Any Paraguayan harpist must know Pájaro Campana.
Y aparte que también estamos hablando de un pájaro.
It is a very special bird in Paraguay. He makes a sound as a bell. He lives in the forests, and unfortunately we have lost much of our forests, so this is a bird that is in danger of extinction. So that's why we feel also it's so important to keep this bird alive. Thank you.
That was three extraordinary musicians here in Paraguay playing together for the very first time, all teachers at this school, at the Arpa Roga school, which is the only harp school in Paraguay, the country of harps. And the three musicians were Nicolás Caballero, the great virtuoso of the harp. He was on the right side of the stereo image. Quique Pedersen, who's 28 years old, the son of the director of the school, on the left side of the image, playing harp. And then finally on guitar, William Alvarenga. He's the music theory teacher at the school. And the piece that they played is one of the great classics of Paraguayan music. It was composed by Félix Pérez Cardoso, and it's called El Pájaro Campana, the bell bird, a bird that's very emblematic of this country, Paraguay, but unfortunately is almost extinct. Last week on World Roots, I met a very significant figure here in Paraguay, who is Luis Saran. We were talking last week about Baroque music, but Luis Saran is also an extremely important person in the world of music education here in Paraguay, indeed in Latin America. He runs an orchestra called Sonido de la Tierra, the sound of the earth. Before we talk about Sonido de la Tierra, Luis, tell me about the Arpa Roga. How is this school seen here in Paraguay?
Es un instrumento que quedó como el instrumento nacional del Paraguay.
The harp is the national instrument in Paraguay and has produced virtuoso musicians that can be found playing in Dubai, New York, London, Berlin, and all with a magical presence. On the other hand, it is an instrument that has started to disappear in the popular imagination. 10 years ago here in Paraguay, we began a music education program, and the Arpa Roga is one of the centers of this in Asunción, where young people can learn the harp. The magic of the harp is that it can be played on its own and doesn't need to be part of an orchestra, and it can also be played on any occasion.
You have an orchestra which is called Sonido de la Tierra. Will you tell us about that?
Sonido de la Tierra es un programa de educación a través del arte.
Sonidos de la Tierra is an educational program designed to teach through art. We have more than 80 orchestras all over Paraguay and over 172 free music schools with folk bands or choirs. It's a program that, instead of looking for talent, focuses on creating new values and good citizens.
It's a social project as well as a musical project.
Tenemos un lema que dice, el joven que durante el día toca Mozart, por la noche no rompe vidrieras.
Yes, and our motto is, a teenager who plays Mozart during the day does not go breaking windows at night. And we call our method of teaching the orchestra a school for life. We work in marginalized neighborhoods in the countryside, and we have an interesting project called Beyond the Classroom that aims to lower school dropout rates. There is a very high dropout rate in the countryside, and through music we try to create a bond of love between the child, the family, and his or her school. To play a musical instrument, you need to be disciplined and you need to be honest. These are values that can be taken home and used in their families and their societies.
A su familia o a su sociedad. Nosotros no recibimos dinero público.
We do not get public money. It is a project built by the people. And not only does it represent an opportunity for the youngsters, but it stimulates the entrepreneurial spirit in adults. They have to organize a business plan and fundraising. The money donated by sponsors represents only 12% of the budget. The remaining 88% is generated by the local people.
La propia gente en cada pueblo. Pero ha enriquecido mucho a los pueblos.
This program has enriched towns by providing a focus for cultural life and to awaken a love of music. Youngsters now love Paraguayan music and have become the guardians of something that was nearly lost.
Okay, and you said that your slogan is play Mozart during the day, you won't break windows at night. What about play Félix Pérez Cardoso during the day? What role does Paraguayan music have in this wonderful system of education, musical education?
Sí, sí. Nosotros decimos Mozart
por, we say Mozart because he is a famous name throughout the world, but the principle can be applied to anyone. People that play music have a better character, a higher self-esteem. The Chinese say that you can trust people that sing because bad people do not have songs. As part of our program, we insist that children learn about their own culture. And this starts with the famous names of Paraguayan music, Cardoso, Flores, and others. People refer to sustainable development, but I like to refer as well to social sustainability. Life is so rich in the countryside. I see so much potential and so much energy. More than 60% of the population is less than 20 years old, and there is a joy for life, a drive to do things, to dream. I have a new idea, which is to cultivate clean water. We are creating the H2 orchestras, which are made up of water-related recycled material, like water bottles, pipes, and so on, and then holding water parties. Children meet every Sunday to learn how to clean and save water. And in the music they perform, we want to include a varied repertoire, from Handel's water music to the rain invocations sung by the indigenous peoples of Paraguay.
All of this is your initiative, the orchestra, school of life, cultivating clean water. This is all you?
Así mismo. Así mismo. Que yo pudiera ser un puente.
Yes, I wanted to be a bridge between people who can offer help and the thousands of children for whom life is only despair. The main tool of our project is happiness. Happiness for life and for music and to make intelligence fashionable again. We need to give these tools to children. They need to know they can change their destinies if they know how to struggle.
Admirable.
Thank you.
Well, I'm back with the wonderful Berta Rojas playing classical guitar, and she has just treated us to another of the Agustín Barrios Mangoré pieces. In fact, it's arranged by him, and it's called Ca Sapa, which means that's a Guarani title.
It's a Guarani title. It's the name of I don't know if you know, but Paraguay is divided in departamentos.
Yes, and like provinces.
There are 19 of them, and one of them is Ca Sapa. So he wrote this tune, which is a traditional folk tune, and he arranged it beautifully on the guitar.
We've been hearing earlier on in the program from the maestro Luis Saran about his initiative Sonido de la Tierra, and you know, it just seems to me that there are so many interesting things going on with music education in Latin America and here in Paraguay. There's lots happening.
Yeah, the program is really starting to develop so many talents all throughout the country, and you are starting to see them, you know.
Has it always been like this here in Paraguay, that there's been a very strong musical element in education?
Yeah, I think so. I believe also that we have to go a long way. For instance, the first music school in a university level has just started a couple of years ago. You know?
So it's very, very recent.
Very recent. I believe that I am the first master of music in guitar in Paraguay, for instance. You know?
Really? Mm.
You know, also what is interesting is the fact that what Roa Bastos, our great writer, once said, that Paraguay is an island surrounded by land. And we pretty much feel like that. So we need to record our music and make our recordings available outside. We need to write our music and make our editions of Paraguayan music, make it available outside of Paraguay.
Now, I know that you have a piece of music, a suite that was written for you, was composed for you by an English composer.
Yeah, that was a very nice gesture of him. You know, he wrote a suite Americana for me, featuring different rhythms of Latin America in this music. One of them is a galopa, and then the second,
which is a traditional Paraguayan
rhythm. Yeah, and it's beautiful to listen to a galopa written by an Englishman. Yeah, it's really wonderful, and it touches my heart very deeply. And the second movement is the one that I'm gonna play for you. It's called The Flight of the Butterfly, and it pictures a butterfly that left England, actually Whitchurch, which is his hometown, and flew all the way crossing the Atlantic into Paraguay and landed in here.
And did he listen to Paraguayan music to compose this piece of music? Did he come here?
No, he didn't come to Paraguay, but he listened to a lot of music before writing this suite for me.
And so do you think that through pieces like this at Paraguayan music, the wonderful roots of Paraguayan music will be heard a little more widely than just in this island within land?
I think that we need to do a lot of work on that, starting from Paraguay, you know. We only recently received our first nomination to a Latin Grammy, first time in the history of Paraguay. So many things are starting to happen now, you know. There's a generation of musicians who are thinking not only of pleasing the market or working in the market in Paraguay, but are also extending their vision to other countries, you know. And what you are doing now gives us an opportunity to do that. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Berta. And let's now hear The Flight of the Butterfly by Vincent Lindsay Clark, all the way from Britain, but dedicated to Paraguay. And to you, Berta Rojas. Thank you.
Thank you.